If you would, please turn your Bibles. We're going to go to Romans chapter 15. I think that's where we're going to start today. I want to look at some things regarding patience. And what we're going to see is that patience is something that we grow in. And there are some things that are necessary or critical to growing in patience and maintaining that patience in our walk. The scriptures and the examples of those who have gone before us, we're going to see that. And of course, the prime example of all is guess who?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. That's right. The hope is critical to walking in and building patience in your walk. It's a, you know where this thing ends. You know where you're going. And so it's kind of a big view of life and what's true. Another important part of patience and the way it's built is as you learn about your Heavenly Father, as you learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you stand in those things. And when things come up in life, you see God's faithfulness. And that builds that patience in your walk. And we'll see that in the Word today too. And as you continue to stand, that grows and grows and grows. And where we land is we are one of those who look to our Father, rely on His love, on His power, on His faithfulness. And when we go to our Father, we are not one of those who waver. That's where we end up as we grow. See, isn't that neat? I wanted to begin here in Romans chapter 15. Well, we'll just start in verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, or with a view to his edification or being built up. For even or likewise, Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Okay, now this is a quote from Psalm 69. And Psalm 69 had an ultimate fulfillment in the Christ. Okay. Jesus Christ would bear all the insults directed toward God by all of mankind for all time. And he would bear that. And that's what Psalm 69 was talking about, and that's what it's talking about here. So it's what Christ did. Then it says in verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through, and really you could read this, and we through the patience, and that's our word, and comfort of the scriptures might have the hope. And then it reads in verse 5, now, the God of the patience and the consolation, grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the subject of the word. And the scriptures aforetime were written for our learning that we might have what? Patience. And that patience, and I think you guys are familiar with this, it's that word that means, it's hupomone. There's hupomone, hupomeno. One's noun, one's verb. And it comes from a word meno, which means to endure. Okay. Meno is used, the word of God liveth and abideth forever. When everything else is gone, what still stands? That's that word. Isn't that something? But its meaning in most places where it's used, it's to bear up under, and this is important to understand, and you're not going to see this in any Greek definition. You've got to put it together from God's word. Because, you know, people say things like people will put up with anything. That's not what we're talking about here. That is not what we're talking about. This is a bearing up under with a joyfulness, a surety, and a confidence in our God, in His Word, and what the end game is, which is our hope. Do you understand? So the scriptures were written aforetime for our learning that we threw... you know, the learning of that, the comfort of that would have patience. Prior to Christ, we have an entire Old Testament, the subject of which is what? Is the coming of Christ. The subject is Christ. That's who it's about. And those promises being laid out, and we're going to see it, in a little bit when we go to Hebrews, how that those men and women looked forward to the Christ coming, and they stood on that. They stood on that. Did Christ come? Absolutely, Christ came. You know, there's a verse that we're familiar with, and it's, and I just want to share this. It's just kind of neat. And it's in Psalm 38, verse 2. And it says, "Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Right? I think that it is typically understood, you know, regarding the scripture, which is certainly true, regarding the scriptures. The beauty, the tapestry, and what an incredible work it is. But I think there's a far more practical understanding of this, and that is this. That His Word, when God speaks, His faithfulness to whatever it is He speaks, His word being His bond. That commitment to what He speaks has been magnified above everything that is associated with His name. Isn't that something? As Creator. You know, there's a verse, I think it's in Jeremiah, where He talks about His covenant with David. He said, if you could stop the sun from shining and the stars from shining at night, then you can break my covenant with David. Isn't that something? That's where He put this. You know, you learn in one of the Gospels a promise that He made to Abraham that was never revealed in the Old Testament. It didn't matter. He said it. Do you understand? That's how faithful God is to His word. That's how committed he is to his word. And we see that by looking back in the scriptures, the men and women who stood. And then we begin to see that he is the God of all patience. He's the God of all comfort. And he is the God of the hope, which is revealed as you continue in Romans 15. See. But it is with that view to his faithfulness. In verse 6 where it says, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received you. So it should read, to the glory of God. See. And that these are things that stem from the knowledge of God. So it's pretty tremendous. It's pretty tremendous because you see record after record of men and women who stood God's faithfulness to them, and he fulfilled his word. And there's still more to fulfill, you know, but it will all be fulfilled. This is pretty cool. So that we might have hope, let's look at Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at a couple familiar sections here. Romans 5. Verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by believing into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This word, rejoice, could also be translated boast. But this word boast is not as is typically understood. This is not a boast out of pride. It's not a boast of or out of a perspective of what I know or of who I am. Or it's a boast that we're going to see here. It's a boast in who God is. It's a boast in the access we have because of Jesus Christ. It's a boast in the grace that we can stand in. But do you understand that? That's our boast. It's all in Christ. It's all in God. It's none in us. Verse 3, and not only, but we glory or we boast in tribulations, mental pressures. Also, knowing that mental pressure worketh or produces, brings about patience. And that's that word. And patience, experience, or brings about experience. And that experience is a proving of the integrity of God, of God's word, and his faithfulness to that word. Okay. And we're going to see here in a few minutes, you know, again, this is patience, something we grow in. But it is patience that we grow in and develop in our lives that enables us to wait on God. Right? Because there are times where we go to the Father and it's our brains. We have a solution, or we have a way that we'd like the solution to work, or maybe a time frame we want that solution in. Right? Have you ever heard of such a thing? But see, this kind of patience, this bearing up under, enabling you to rely on, to wait on, that is something that we can all build. So let's go to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to look at another one. Just to show you how connected to hope this is, and it really is. There are some great sections you can look at in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. But here in Romans chapter 12, let's begin in verse 9. It says, let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 12, rejoicing in the hope. That's how it should read or could read. Rejoicing in the hope. Patient, that's that word, in mental pressure, continuing instant in prayer. See, boy, what a great formula that verse is, huh? If you're looking for a formula. Rejoice in hope. See? And in tribulation and mental pressure, patient. And so how do I do that? What's one of the ways I do that? I continue instant in what? In prayer. That means I continue to pray. I faithfully pray. Isn't that wonderful? It's so simple. But I tell you that, you know, that hope is such a big part of this. Something else I wanted to show is that this is something that we grow in. And I want you to turn, if you would, to, let's go to Matthew. No, rather, let's go to Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. Luke 8. Yep, this is what I want. Luke 8. Let's pick it up in verse 11. This is the parable of the sower and the seed. Jesus Christ shared this parable. The sower went out to seed, and it fell on four different kinds of ground. Well, after this, his disciples came and said, what does this mean? And it's interesting, Jesus Christ's response was, boy, if you don't know this one, how are you going to understand any? There's a real fundamental elementary truth being shared here in this parable. So we're going to pick it up where he begins to explain it. Verse 11, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, in which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, what? They fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they keep it, they guard it, they retain it, they keep it and bring forth fruit with what? With patience. It's really neat. What's really beautiful in this parable, one of the things that's just wonderful, is that that word is likened to a seed. And when it's in a heart that will hold on to it, that heart, that life will bring forth what? fruit. And the picture is like that of a seed. You plant the seed. You know, they don't even fully understand how this stuff works. Isn't that something? But the ground has life. And it supplies what's needed so that that seed can then produce the life that it has. They work together. Isn't that beautiful? And it doesn't happen overnight, does it? No, it takes time. It takes time. It takes a little patience. I think there's even a parable about that, where the farmer runs out every day, looks for the blade of grass, looks for the blade of grass. No, it takes time. And it's kind of like that with growing in God's word. Some of this is being patient with ourselves. And knowing through all of that, that God is faithful. I want you to turn to Colossians, please. Colossians. I love this. I really do. Colossians. Chapter 1. Verse 9, it says, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Okay? So you're filled with the knowledge of his will. And this word knowledge is that word, it's from a Greek word, epignosis, and it's a full knowledge. It's a knowledge to the end that it has an impact on the knower. Okay? So that you might be filled with the knowledge of him. Or increasing in the knowledge of, or I'm sorry, spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy in balance of the Lord unto all pleasing. I kind of like that word worthy, honestly. Because God has made you righteous. God has placed you in Christ. And his desire is that we would walk in light of who we are in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That's worthy. You know, it's in balance with who we really are. And knowledge is an important part of that. Learning about God, learning about our Lord Jesus Christ, and then growing in that. And this is so cool. "That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." That again is that word, epignosis. I believe it is. Verse 11, "Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto," or with a view to, that's what this word unto is, with a view to, this is what you're moving toward, "all" what? "Patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." That patience is something that is built, is something that we grow in. Long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. And it's kind of neat that they're used together. This is to grow unto, with a view to, our walking with all patience and long-suffering. That's the result of growing in his mighty power. Now that long-suffering, what that means, it's a Greek word, makrothumia, I think it is. And it is the, its basic meaning is the hot emotions. The emotions that boil over are kept a long way off. It is the ability to not let emotions run you. Now, sometimes those emotions are there. But that knowledge, that understanding, that walking by the Spirit of God and growing in that walk produces this long-suffering. I just think that is so awesome. Let's go to, in light of this, this growing in, I want you to turn to 1 Peter, or 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. Opens with Peter, servant, apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious believing, faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And that godliness, really a beautiful way to understand it, it is that character that issues from a personal relationship with your Heavenly Father. Do you understand that? It's the simplest way I know how to define this word. It's Eusebia, I think the word is. It's used in a lot of places, and it's interesting, but that's a simple way to understand that. God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, or the conduct of our life. It's that which issues from that relationship with our Heavenly Father. I got to finish the verse, I guess. Unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, or by his glory and virtue. There's a better understanding. By his glory and virtue, whereby are given by way of his glory and virtue, for giving us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, which is self-control. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, the love. Do you know that patience is one of the characteristics of the love? In 1 Corinthians 13. I think it's in King James, it's translated, I think it's translated patience. That's right. Okay. But then it goes on. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? But he that lacks these things, and this is sort of an insertion here, he that lacks these things is blind or nearsighted. He's nearsighted and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, brethren, instead of that, give diligence to make your calling and election sure or steadfast. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this is one of the things that we add to our believing, this patience. We grow in it. And I can't remember the scripture, but it's in 1 Timothy. I think it's in chapter 3, where Timothy is instructed to flee these things. And those things are things regarding self, love of money, all that stuff. And pursue after righteousness, godliness, patience. Is something that we pursue after. Do you follow? And these are the ingredients that will make us successful in it. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and then we're going to close in James. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1. Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside or strip off every weight, every, impediment, everything that holds you back, and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with what? Patience. The race that is set before us. Okay. So it opens here with that great cloud of witnesses. And that's why when I opened, I brought up, we look to those who went before. With the greatest example, which we'll see right here, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11 is a listing of some of those who lived. We refer to it as the great chapter on believing. It is. You know why? Because they looked for the hope. They looked at a hope. There's a section in Hebrews 11 where it says if they had been mindful of the country they came out of, they might have had a reason to look back. But they didn't. They kept their eyes forward. See? That's our example. That's our example. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the beginner, and the finisher of faith, of the believing. He completed it. Jesus Christ is the only one to start believing and never fail and believe all the way to the end of being resurrected and in the presence of God. He's the only one that's ever done that. He's the leader. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That's the example. And the contradiction between what Jesus Christ had to endure as the only begotten Son of God, as the only one who ever walked perfectly, who ever perfectly loved, who ever said and did everything God wanted him to say and do, that contradiction is greater than anything any other man has gone through, regardless of how bad that is. But he endured that contradiction, being at the, I'm not going to use the word mercy, but at the hands of the prince of the power of darkness for those hours prior to his being shamefully crucified. But he endured for the what? The joy that was set before him. Despising the shame, disregarding it, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, Think about this. Contemplate him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds, in your life. You haven't resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you, unto you as unto children. My son, despise not, or have little regard for, the chastening, or the, I think a lot of translations handle this as instruction, which is really what it is. This is Queen's English. Instruction of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked or convicted or reproved of him. For whom the Lord loves, he instructs and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without instruction, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. See? You know, we're to endure that instruction. And that's the word patience, to patiently endure. Sometimes that's a hard thing to go through. You know what I think about when I read this scripture? And I believe it's in Hebrews 5. And it's regarding Jesus Christ, our Lord, when he was in the garden. And it talks about many tears. It says, wherefore, he learned obedience. But he did. Because what he was going to face was so horrible. But he got to the place because of where he was looking. Isn't that something? That he disregarded the shame. That's why he's the ultimate example. Isn't that something? That's our Lord. And I'll tell you, you know, there are a lot of places we could go to look at, but we have a God, a Father, who is the God of all patience. He's like good at this. And he will help. We have Holy Spirit. He can do that kind of thing. We look to him. I just want to close in James. Next book. James chapter 1. You know, this section here really begins to make sense. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy. You know, it's to consider it. Consider it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, many. Or you are led into many or motley temptations. Knowing this, that the trying or the proving of your believing worketh or produces patience. That's that word, hupomone. Produces patience. And let patience, let it, allow it, to have her perfect work. Let it become of full age. That you may be perfect or mature, complete, the end for which it was intended, and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. It means bountifully. There's no strings attached. He doesn't upbraid you for asking for wisdom. God will never say something like, you should have known this. But I'll help you. That's not how it works. Isn't that something? He gives. He just gives. I love that. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in what? In believing. Nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable, or an inconsistent man is unstable in all his ways. That's going to take some patience, isn't it? And that's why it's something that's built. And that's why the word says it is the trials of life. It's those tribulations that come up in living that produce patience. Because as you stand through those, you see God come through. You see God's faithfulness. You see God's love and care for you. And it builds. See? And it does take time. That's okay. You got to be patient with yourself. But we can be at a place where we go to our God. We rely on Him. And we don't put a time limit on. So many times, you know, we've lost out because we pray to the Father and start thinking of what it is we can do. Did you ever hear such a thing? You know? Boy, it's learning how to do that and being patient in that. Being patient in that. And all of us have done this. All of us have experienced this. And it's awesome, isn't it? It's awesome. That's why you count it all joy. Because God's faithful. You know, it's not the thing you're going through. It may not be fun to go through. It's not. But boy, God's faithful. That's the joy part. So that's what I wanted to share regarding patience. And so I'm going to pray.